Are you doing? The rain has stopped. I see one or two of you there. Making reference to the fact that the rain has stopped. It began raining last Friday and it stopped last night. Last night, Tuesday. Yeah, it's nice. It's freezing. Very cold this morning. Icicles, ice on the windshields or the windscreens of cars, including my own this morning, around about 3 degrees Celsius centigrade. I don't know what that is in American money, but it's very cold this morning. It is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. And I hope I find you in good form this morning or this evening or wherever, whatever time zone you happen to be in. Lots to talk about this morning. Very quick roll call. Hi to Afraid of the Dark, to Yarlin, to Terry Hayes, to Dick, to Anonymous, to Philip, to Martin. How you doing, Martin? Jessica, to Jesus Jones, who knows, 33. How you doing there? Let me go on down to Jennifer. Good morning, Jennifer, to Cromwell Bear, Mr. P. How you doing, Mr. P? And let's go to Gary Mercer in Stratford in London. How you doing, Gary? Nice to know you're on the chat this morning. Bob Wimpenny, how you doing, Bob? Lovely stuff. Bit of a gag there from Bob. To John Kerr in Walney. How you, John? To Julie. Mentioned Philip, did I? To Anne Gladman, how you doing, Anne? To John Rorty, good morning, John, in New York. Jason Williamson, to Mena. To Angela Guidolin, how you doing, Angela? In the southeast, to Stuart. To Pierre, to Mo, to Tanya Bauer in Australia, to Caroline Richardson in Dublin. Good morning, Caroline. Diagwit, hope you're well. To Bruce Blunt, John Kerr, Ian, Manapia Man, Sean Mack. How you doing, Sean? Ghost Gaming, Mr. Farkin. Oaf! Mr. Farkin, oaf, says Richie, you big bald-headed bastard. Brexit is some more. What does that mean? The baldy bastard bit, I get. Brexit is some more. Some more what? Finish that sentence. I'll not survive the day. Unless I know what you mean. Lovely stuff. Yeah. To Naroda, to Robert, and to Andrew Bell. Right, that's it for the good mornings. Let's have a look at the paper. It's going to be an interesting day. Lots happening today. I know, it's a bit of a cliche, eh? But lots happening today. Took that photograph of the jazz woman last night there. I'm often asked, Richie, put the jazz woman on camera. But I can't, because I'm using a laptop and I can't be picking it up and turning it around. There she is there. Last night, around about 9 o'clock. Chilling. Something like that, yeah? There she is. I'll leave her there. The jazz. Right. Front pages of the papers then. We love our dogs, don't we? Don't we? And then we're going to talk about an exclusive in the Telegraph newspaper. The Telegraph has come across or has been given access to Boris Johnson's proposals for the Northern Ireland backstop. Proposals that apparently he shared with European Union leaders last night. Basically his plan, okay? His solution to this backstop madness. Now, we'll start off with the Metro today. Take it or leave it. Johnson to make Brexit offer today and vows talks will stop if Brussels says no. This is true. They have claimed, the government has claimed, Boris Johnson and Dominic Cummings, his chief advisor, have claimed that if, as expected, his proposal for Northern for Ireland, his proposal to deal with the imposition of a hard border or to avoid it in Ireland, that if the European Union sticks its fingers up at his proposal, they're saying that Johnson will say, that's it, talks are over, we're done. Right? It's in the Metro. It's all very important, this. It actually is important. It might be boring, some of it. You might be fed up of it. You might have Brexit fatigue, but it's very important now that we're coming to the, well, to the final inspiration and exhalation, because it is dead in the water. And I'll tell you now in a second how. Daily Telegraph, Brexit plan revealed, PM rolls up his sleeves to send Brussels' final offer. Right, let's get into it. Telegraph saying we've an exclusive this morning. on what Johnson proposes to avoid the imposition of the backstop. The European Union said that there couldn't be a hard border in Ireland after Brexit because of the Good Friday Agreement and because of all that entails in Ireland. Okay? Terrorism and all the rest of it. Loyalism and republicanism and nationalism, and we couldn't go back to the days of old with a border and all of that. So it was proposed by the European Union that a backstop would be imposed on Northern Ireland, which would temporarily keep, Northern Ireland in a customs union and in the single market with the European Union, so that there wouldn't be any border in Ireland, okay, between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. And this really pissed off the Democratic Unionist Party and loyalists in the north of Ireland. It pissed off unionists in England, who said we couldn't have that. We couldn't be breaking off one part of the United Kingdom and allowing it to remain within the European Union. That's dreadful, right? Right, so everybody was against the backstop. So Johnson has a proposal in how the UK can leave the European Union but also avoid the imposition of the backstop. So what is it? Well, we'll have a look at it now. It's a little bit complicated, but we'll give you the CliffsNote version of it. There's Peter Foster, who used to be a regular guest on Talk Radio Europe on my programme back in the day. The plan was briefed to major EU capitals on Tuesday. It will accept the need for both a regulatory border between Great Britain and Northern Ireland in the Irish Sea for 4 years and customs checks between the North and the Republic of Ireland. The UK's proposed replacement for the existing Irish backstop is expected to face fierce opposition from EU leaders, who will be asked to grant the UK swooping exemptions from EU customs rules to facilitate this Northern Irish customs border. Right? Okay. It means that Northern Ireland, for 4 years, will remain in large parts of the European Union, according to Peter Foster. And he's right. And also remaining in the single market. But will leave the European Union Customs Union. So for the next 4 years, Johnson proposes that Northern Ireland will remain in large parts of the single market, okay, and accept regulations from the European Union there, but that it would leave the European Union Customs Union alongside the rest of the UK. After 4 years then, the Northern Irish Assembly would get to vote on whether to remain aligned with the European Union or go back to following British rules effectively. And according to the Telegraph, by that time, the UK would be expected to have diverged entirely from Brussels. And he goes on to say, the Irish government are going to knock this, the European Union are going to knock this. Loyalists who have propped up, well, had propped up, Johnson doesn't have a majority now, but they had previously propped up his government and Theresa May's government before him. Loyalists don't like it either. Nobody likes it. Okay. So, there's the CliffsNote version. There's the CliffsNotes version of it. Britain leaves European Union in 2021, by the way. So Johnson wants this transition period. So the UK as a whole will stay in, really, in a transition period until 2021. In 2021, the UK would leave with a free trade agreement with the European Union. Northern Ireland will stay in the European Union single market for agriculture and industrial goods. A high-tech customs border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland will be put in place. They haven't yet decided where this would be, 5 or 6 miles away from the traditional borders they are proposing, right? Goods coming from the UK to Northern Ireland would face checks. And as I said, in 4 years, Northern Ireland would get to choose whether or not to stay in these arrangements with the European Union or whether to go back to following UK rules. Right. Now, do you get that? I'll leave that on screen for a minute, right? It's fairly straight. It's complicated, but the guts of it, right, the meat of it is fairly straightforward. Nobody likes it. Simon Coveney, who is the Irish deputy Taoiseach, the deputy prime minister. Now, he isn't really. Leo Varadkar is not really the Irish prime minister. He's not really the Taoiseach. These men and women now are nothing but front men and women and spokesmen and women for the European Union. Ireland doesn't have a government. It doesn't have a government. I spoke to Jean Anne Crowley this morning, my friend, and I suggested to her early this morning that before too long, either Varadkar or Coveney would be on British television saying that Johnson's proposals are going to go nowhere. 20 minutes after I got off the phone with Jean Anne, the Irish deputy Taoiseach, Simon Coveney, is grinning like a Cheshire cat, you could say, on Sky News, saying that, well, it's very unlikely that we're going to go for this. Okay? This is all Johnson has. Johnson's people are saying that if the European Union does what Simon Coveney said they will do, which is say, we're not having it. We're not having it. The backstop has got to stay the way we originally drew it up. Johnson's people are saying, Johnson will then say, I don't want any more of this. We're done. And we will leave on October 31st. Right. Are you getting excited? Do you think, well, that means we're going to leave on October 31st then? No, it doesn't. Listen back to the monologue. Well, the entire show was a monologue last night, wasn't it? Listen back to the first 10 minutes of the radio show last night. And listen to Mail on Sunday reporter Harry Cole, who's a very good journalist, very experienced. Harry had some really interesting things to say. He's at the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, which is taking place at the GMEC Centre. And Harry said yesterday that he's noticed a bit of pitch polling. Lovely turn of phrase, pitch polling. He said that Conservative Party bigwigs and ministers and junior ministers have been saying for a long time to anybody who will listen, we will leave with or without a deal on October 31st. That's been the party line, or at least the half of the party that supports leaving the European Union. They have said repeatedly, we get a deal or we don't get a deal. Either way, we leave on October 31st. Now, they have repeated this often because a couple of weeks back, Parliament voted through the Benn Act. The Benn Act. It was approved in the House of Lords and it was given royal assent. The Benn Act compels Boris Johnson to write to Brussels, to the European Union, to request an extension in the event that he doesn't reach an arrangement with them. So if he doesn't reach a deal with them, and there is a summit on the 17th and the 18th of this month, if he doesn't come out with a deal to present to Parliament, he must then write to Brussels requesting an extension until January 31st. Requesting an extension until January 31st. He says he won't do it. So what's going to happen? Well, Harry Cole said yesterday that pitch polling means that now experienced Conservatives, ministers, junior ministers, MPs, are now saying to anybody who will listen that Boris can survive not leaving the European Union on October 31st. Because they believe that the public now understands that Johnson has done all that he can do and that his hands are being tied by a Remain Parliament that is defying the will of the people. And what Harry Cole took that to mean yesterday was, and I agree with him, that privately Boris Johnson and his advisers know full well that the UK is not leaving on October 31st. Not a snowball's chance in hell. He knows this, Johnson. He knows that, Let's just pretend Johnson is serious. I don't think he is. But let's pretend that he really wants to leave on October 31st. He knows that he can't do that because he will either lose a vote of no confidence in the House of Commons and Jeremy Corbyn will request to form a government. He will go to the palace and ask to form a government, either on his own or with the support of the Liberal Democrats, the Scottish Nationals, the Welsh, the Greens, and all the rest of it. Or, if Johnson says in mid-October, or if he says today or next week, I will not write that letter asking for an extension, the Remainers in Parliament will go back to court. Either way, Johnson won't be taken the UK out of the European Union on October 31st. If Jeremy Corbyn wants to form a government tomorrow, he can do. And the pathway to doing so is very, very, very straightforward. They table a vote of no confidence in Johnson. They succeed. We have something in the country called the Fixed Term Parliament Act of 2011, which took out of the hands of the sitting Prime Minister the ability to call a general election when he or she wanted to, and gave that power to Parliament to make it easier for parliaments, or to make it more common for parliaments to see out their full terms. You see, a parliament in the UK is 5 years. Okay, you're not supposed to have general elections here are supposed to be every 5 years. The Fixed Term Parliament Act now means that to have an early general election used to be that the Prime Minister could do that. Not anymore. Parliament has got to vote for it. So we have a Fixed Term Parliament Act. This Parliament is only 2 years old. Corbyn could go to the Queen and say, we're going to form a government. He's not got a majority. He lost his majority weeks ago, Boris Johnson. It's unprecedented that we're even in the situation that we're in now, is that we're not in the middle of an election campaign. It's unprecedented. But Corbyn and others have said they didn't want to call for a general election because they wanted to take no deal off the table first. But in reality, they were taking liberties with the truth in reality. In reality, Jeremy Corbyn is terrified of a general election because the polling numbers for him at the moment are absolutely abysmal. And that is because in working class communities around the country, where in many, if not most cases, they voted to leave, they now see Corbyn as a traitor, effectively, to them. Because he has reversed himself on the second referendum. And he's reversed himself historically on the European Union. He's been a Eurosceptic since forever. So that's the mess that we're in now. Johnson knows he cannot get out without a deal on October 31st. He knows this. So he is now setting himself up to frame the next general election as he, Boris Johnson, as the champion of the people, the champion of democracy, against a liberal elite parliament. This is how he's going to frame it, not me, that have defied the wishes of the people of the UK. That's how it's going to work. It's extraordinary. What's happening? We have a government with no majority, some of the governing party's MPs have crossed the floor, left the party, and gone to join another party. It's amazing. No working majority, and no election. Right? For the reasons I've outlined, excuse me, Labour doesn't want one. It's terrified of getting hammered in one. But we're getting to the crux of this now. The European Union will today reject out of hand Johnson's proposals for customs arrangements in Northern Ireland. Out of hand, they will reject it. Johnson has got to front up then and stick to his guns and say, well, I'm not going to take us beyond October 31st. I'm not going to request an extension. At that point then, he will either be subject to further legal proceedings, or the Remain coalition of Joe Swinson, of Caroline Lucas, of Ian Blackford and Jeremy Corbyn, they will get together and say, well, you know, we don't like the notion of supporting Jeremy Corbyn to be an interim prime minister, but we've got to do that to stop no deal. Therefore, let's get a vote of no confidence. Let's win that. And then let's go to the Queen immediately. And that's very, very, very plausible. So that's how it will happen. Either legally, an injunction will be imposed upon Johnson, or no confidence, and we'll go to the Queen and we will form a government. That's the Remainers. That's where it is. Do you understand that? I didn't write anything down. It's best to write notes, but I think I've explained that pretty well. That's how it is. These proposals by Johnson keep Northern Ireland in a free trade arrangement with the European Union for a few years, put some sort of customs checks, electronic ones, in Ireland, goods from Britain having to be checked. Northern Ireland gets to choose in a few years whether it wants to stay or not. This will be rejected by the DUP in the north. It'll be rejected by the European Union. And the European Union, of course, is using its spokesmen and women, Simon Coveney, Leo Varadkar, Mairead McGuinness, and all these other people in Ireland who are not patriots. They're not Irish politicians. They are lackeys for the European Union. Ireland doesn't have a government. This is how it works. This is how it plays out. Right, I spent a lot of time on this. You get it though? You get it? Anybody confused about any of that? Makes perfect sense. What are the bullet points? The bullet points are Johnson's proposal to avoid the backstop will be rejected. Johnson is then in the position of having stated clearly that whether or not the European Union comes to an arrangement with him, he is leaving on October 31st. However, legally, Johnson legally cannot do that because the Benn Act passed Parliament, the House of Lords, and was given royal assent, which compels him to ask for an extension. So if he sticks to his guns, says no extension, I'm not writing it, he will either be subject to further legal proceedings, or the Remain cabal in Parliament will get him out through the back door of a no-confidence vote and going to the palace to tell the Queen we can form a government. Either way, we're not going anywhere on October 31st. And I had a message from Jean Anne this morning. There's even talks now coming out of the European Union about a 6-month extension, not a 3-month extension. Quite amazing, really, isn't it? Let me read a few comments there. Like, I could have written a few bullet points, but you get it now, you understand it, yeah. I'm not suggesting you're fucking stupid, but these newspaper articles are dreadfully written, very poorly written. They don't make it simple for people to understand it. I've been following the European Union, its machinations, its modus operandi, for 2 decades now. This is why I said back in 2016 that we would never be allowed to leave. So it's going to be fascinating now to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. You know, one thing that is not going to happen is the United Kingdom is not going to leave on October 31st with no deal. It is not going to happen. I'm telling you that much, and I've told you that for a long time. So there you are. Thank you to those of you who've made Super Chat donations, by the way. I really appreciate that. Thank you to Hidden Treasures Travel. Thank you so much. In Australia, I believe. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. And to Mr. P as well, who says, Brexit is like watching Bullseye with Jim Bowen. Here's what you could have won. And Hidden Treasure says, thanks for keeping us informed. Well, look, a lot of it is subjective You know, it's my opinion, but this aspect of it is not opinion, it's fact. So you might say that the conjecture part is the notion that Boris Johnson understands all of this. He accepts privately that he's not going to leave on October 31st and that he is now framing the next general election campaign as him against the Rima owners. Look, I've done everything I can. I said I would leave without a deal. They usurped me. They went for me legally. They took a vote of no confidence in me. They went to the Queen. They form a national unity government. Whatever happens, Johnson is going to frame it as, he's going to frame it as his motives were pure, that he did every last thing he could to leave the European Union. But I was thwarted at every step of the way by this Remain anti-democratic cabal. That's how it's going to be. And people will be sick of it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the next general election cycle, whether that is in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, or whether it waits till January or February? Can you imagine what it's going to be like? This nonsense. Lawyers telling lies. Other lawyers lying about them. Just a festival of lies and bullshit for 4 to 5 weeks. It's going to be mad, really. So let's just leave that there, right? And forget about that. And just look at one or two other stories before we run out of time here. Because I've got a man coming to the house this morning to do a bit of damp proofing, don't you know? Bit of damp proofing. So the Sun, 10 days to do deal, the Brexit ultimatum. The Guardian, Johnson's threat to the EU. Accept my final offer or it's no deal. The iPaper, keep talk secret, PM's plea to Brussels. That's a different take, alleging that Johnson wants all of this done out of the glare of the media. Let's have our discussions. Let's not conduct this business in public. Let's do it in private and then present whatever we come up with to the public, says Johnson. Daily Mail, take it or leave it. The Express, it's all the same today. Take it or leave it. Okay. In the Mirror, same old Tories. Johnson can't recall the grouping. Swain, who blacked up a little bit. And this guy, Clifton Brown, who had a row with security yesterday at conference in Manchester and was dragged away and sent home. Lovely. All of life's a stage. Furious Prince sits out at bullying Meghan. This is in a lot of the press today. Apparently, the Sussexes are taking the Daily Mail to court because the Daily Mail published a letter that was written by her, Meghan Markle, to her father, Thomas Markle, allegedly. Well, they did. They did publish a letter. And he's gone virtue signalling superstar this morning, Harry, comparing her to his mother, demanding privacy. He's launched into this tirade against the tabloid media. I mean, it's an open goal for me. This entitled prick, this hypocrite who travels the world demanding attention for himself and his ridiculous fucking games. His Invictus games that he runs, where former soldiers compete in events. Soldiers who took part in fucking crimes against humanity when they were employed by the British Army. Let's celebrate them in the Invictus Games. He demands attention. He goes to Angola and demands attention because he's talking about landmines like his mother did. Yeah. Horrible people, these people. He demands attention when he's warning about climate change and telling us we're all going to have to change our ways. He demands attention when he talks about mental health. What a prick. They take millions to renovate their cottage. Taxpayers' money. They travel the world living in the lap of luxury. And they have the cheek to complain about the Daily Mail, eh? Fuck right off. these people. When will the people of the UK wake up and turf these freeloading, paedophile-loving scumbags out of the houses they own and send them into fucking exile? When will people do that? How can it be that people in this country are okay with propping up their lifestyle, these people, these imposters? Huh? Madness. Madness. Funny story on Sky News. You can read it on skynews.com. The Donald suggested shooting migrants in the leg to slow them down. Did Donald. And he also wanted a US-Mexico border wall with a moat filled with snakes and alligators. Of course, Trump's fans will say this is fake news. It's bullshit. They'll say it's bullshit. But it's not bullshit. Trump is mad. He's as mad as a box of frogs. Electrified fences, moats with snakes and alligators to keep out the migrants. This is the basis of a new book. Again, people will say it's fake news. Doesn't matter whether it is or whether it isn't, but I could believe it. It is written by New York Times journalists Michael D. Shear and Julie Hirschfield Davis. And apparently they substantiate these claims with documentation and with witness statements. Donald, yeah. I know how we'll keep him out. Dig a big moat, fill it with water, put alligators and snakes in there. Fucking hell. Wow. Your hospital wards are going to look very different now in the future, dear viewer. If the NHS has its way, transgender patients can choose to be treated on male or female wards. New NHS guidance. This is in the Telegraph. Patients can choose whether they want to be treated on male or female wards. They should be accommodated according to their presentation, noting the way they dress and the name and pronouns they currently use. I'm not being childish. This does mean that I can go all Dustin Hoffman and tootsie myself up to the tits. I can tootsie myself up to the tits, put a bit of slap and tickle on, and go to Salford General and say that I want to be in a female ward. My name is Rochelle. Put a wig on me, bit of lippy, put a bit of cleavage in there, and say that I identify as a woman, and the NHS is recommending that I be housed during my stay in hospital in a female ward. Oh yeah. Lovely. Gets worse. Having different genital or breast sex appearance is not a reason for denying patients a space on a single sex ward. You have to laugh, you see, because if you don't, you'll get angry. Laugh. And hope that by laughing at it, lampooning it, sending it up, satirising it, that it gets through to people that this is basket case stuff, this.
Oh, I do. You're right. My name is Lucy. Yeah.
We've got to keep you in there, Lucy. It looks like that wound has become septic. We've got to keep you in.
Yeah, put me on a women's ward, yeah. Put me in with the women, yeah.
All right, then. That's how it is.
Yeah. Because I'm a lady. I got a meat and two veg in me undercrackers, but I'm a lady. Got a meat and two crackers in undercrackers. Meat and two veg in undercrackers, but I'm a lady.
So we'll put you on a female ward then. Why not? Fuck that, you know. Oh yeah. Mad. Gets even madder than that. Because a former head teacher has come out and said that pupils are switching gender just to cause a stir. Well, who couldn't have seen that one coming, right? Well, you can be all of these genders if you like. You can be non-binary. You could be anything. And students are going, yeah, I might get a bit of attention. I might get an advantage. I might shake things up a bit. So I will identify as something other than that which I really am. So this is Clarissa Farr, high mistress. She was high mistress of St. Paul's School for Girls until 2017. Little bit of turbulence in school, she said. Some of them are identifying just for the crack, like.
Of course.
It is a mad world. Isn't it? Isn't it? Sky News running with this. Burger King tweeted about milkshakes being available all weekend. Was this to do with the Brexit Party conference, was it? It might have been. Brexit Party rally in Edinburgh, that's right. And this is when milkshakes were being thrown at people like Tommy Robinson and others and Carl Benjamin and even people like Nigel Farage. And at that time, Burger King were advertising that they had milkshakes available for people. And it has been deemed that that was wrong. Fair enough. Shouldn't incite violence. Throwing a milkshake at somebody is an act of violence. It's not an act of protest, it's an act of violence. It's pathetic. If you disagree with somebody, disagree with them. Speak to them, debate them. Or just protest. But don't throw milkshakes at people. It's an assault. Anybody who throws a milkshake at somebody, douses them in it, in the liquid, should be arrested for assault. End of story. And if Burger King or anybody else is inciting that, well, they should have to answer for it, I would say. Somebody at the door now, so I'm going to go. I have a feeling it's my damp-proof man. Have a good rest of your day. You and I will speak again at 5 o'clock on the radio show. Until then, it's bye from me. Look after yourselves and one another. The dog's barking. Bye now.